they said Africa and the Caribbean were separated by oceans. But Captain Ibrahim Traoré sees no ocean, only bloodlines. In a message that shook the soul of Jamaica, the young revolutionary from Burkina Faso delivered more than words. He delivered a mirror reflecting colonization, cultural amnesia, and the aching need for unity. Africa and Jamaica, same fight, same blood, same future. This isn't politics, this is prophecy. And for Jamaicans, from the hills of Maroon Country to dancehall stages in Kingston, this may be the wake-up call our ancestors prayed for. This is Caribbean history, where revolution isn't just remembered, it's reignited. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. The wind was hot and heavy over Kingston that day. Online, the video was already making its rounds. Not from CNN, not from the BBC, but from a shaky phone screen, subtitled in bold yellow text. The face of a young African leader, brown eyes burning, his voice measured, calm, and unmistakably defiant, had crossed the Atlantic without needing a visa. Africa and Jamaica, same fight, same blood, same future. These were not the words of a diplomat. They were the words of a soldier who had stood at the gates of imperialism and told it to leave. And Jamaicans were listening. From the stalls in Coronation Market to quiet homes in Portland. From youth on TikTok to elders on verandas still echoing Garvey's teachings. A different kind of buzz moved through the air. For some, it was pride. For others, it was memory. For many, it was confusion. Who was this man? What did he mean to us? And why did it feel like someone had finally said aloud what so many Jamaicans had buried deep in their bones for centuries? Who is Captain Ibrahim Traoré? Born in 1988 in Burkina Faso, Ibrahim Traoré is no ordinary head of state. He is a former chemistry student turned army captain who led a youth-backed coup in 2022, toppling a Western-aligned regime and promising to return the power to the people. He did not wear silk suits or speak in rehearsed UN platitudes. He wore a red beret. He stood beside farmers, mechanics, and griots. He refused foreign aid that came with conditions. He nationalized mines. He burned symbols of colonial presence. And he became a mirror, reflecting both the boldness and the burden of what true post-colonial leadership could look like. When Traoré turned to Jamaica in a recent address, it was not accidental. It was strategic and deeply symbolic. A message for the diaspora. Jamaicans, your blood is African. Your struggle is ours. We must rise together. These were his words, translated and clipped into dozens of viral TikToks, reposted in Facebook forums for Marcus Garvey scholars, shared by Rasta elders, and debated in parliament-adjacent circles. But this wasn't the usual call for solidarity we've heard from politicians before. This was direct. This was specific. This was personal. For a country like Jamaica, with a population still reeling from centuries of cultural erasure, economic dependency, and migration cycles that tear families apart, Traoré's message wasn't just ideology. It was therapy. It was confrontation. It was fire poured gently onto old coals, coals that had never really gone cold. The soundtrack of Garvey's Ghost. In the hills of St. Anne, where Marcus Garvey was born, his name still floats through the air like sacred smoke. His teachings of black pride, economic independence, repatriation, and the liberation of the African mind were often dismissed as outdated. But now, with a young African captain preaching those same ideals, from power, not exile, Garveyism no longer feels nostalgic. It feels prophetic. Jamaica must not be a puppet of the West, Traoré declared. And the street chatter responded. Eh, who tell him fi talk like dat? Him right star. The parallels were eerie. Garvey had called for African unity from the Caribbean. Traoré was now calling for Caribbean unity from Africa. History wasn't repeating. It was remixing. Beyond words, what's at stake? This message from Traoré arrived in a moment of uncertainty. Jamaica's youth unemployment is rising. Trust in politicians is low. The IMF still looms large. Cultural identity is becoming a tourist product instead of a birthright. And while Bob Marley's face sells shirts in Times Square, many young Jamaicans barely know who Queen Nanny was. Captain Traoré's words arrived like a lightning bolt in that storm. not because they solved anything, but because they revealed something. That Jamaicans are still waiting, still hungry, still hoping for something, or someone, to remind them that their struggle is not in vain. And perhaps most importantly, that they are not alone. The phrase echoed from lips in halfway tree to hashtags posted in Brooklyn. Same fight, same blood, same future. It was more than a slogan. It was a reawakening. For too long, the story of Africa and the Caribbean had been told as if they were distant cousins. Connected by pain, yes, but divided by centuries, ships, borders, and belief. What Captain Traoré did in five words was collapse that illusion. He rejoined what colonization had tried to sever. Same fight. What is the fight? For both Africa and Jamaica, it's a battle on multiple fronts. Economic dependency. Whether it's loans from the IMF or extractive trade deals with foreign conglomerates, both regions still operate under a system designed to enrich the powerful at the expense of the people. Cultural erasure. From miseducation to media narratives, generations have been taught to believe that progress equals westernization, that local knowledge, indigenous languages, and ancestral memory are backward or irrelevant. Political puppetry. Leaders who look like the people but serve the agendas of foreign nations. Policies signed in private rooms. Resources sold off to the highest bidder. And in both regions, a population left to wonder who's really in charge. When Traoré said, reject being puppets, he wasn't talking metaphor. He was calling out the visible strings that stretch from Washington to Westmoreland. Same blood. This truth hits deeper than DNA. Yes, Jamaicans descend from West Africans. That's a historical fact. But same blood isn't just about ancestry. It's about inheritance. The blood that built empires in chains. The blood that fought back. From the Maroon warriors in Jamaica's Blue Mountains to the Mossi resistance in Burkina Faso. The blood that still remembers. In Rastafarian thought, this bloodline is spiritual. Ethiopia is Zion. Africa is the motherland. The colonial narrative tried to turn that memory into myth. But Traoré resurrected it with force. Your blood is African. Not by accident. Not by coincidence, but by purpose. And for Jamaicans long disconnected from their continental roots, this message wasn't divisive. It was healing. Same future. Now here's the real challenge. Because if we share the same fight in the same blood, then the question becomes, are we building the same future? Captain Traoré's Burkina Faso is a work in progress. Struggling. Unpolished. But it is also audacious. Rebellious. Unafraid. And many Jamaicans, especially the youth, are looking at it with new eyes. What would it mean for Jamaica to nationalize bauxite mines? What if we rewrote school curricula to start not with Columbus, but with Ghana, Mali, and Kemet? What if development meant food independence, cultural sovereignty, and diaspora collaboration, instead of more debt and more hotels? These aren't fantasies. They are possibilities. If we see ourselves not as a post-slavery nation, but as part of a Pan-African future. A future where music isn't just entertainment, it's education. Culture isn't just performance, it's power. History isn't just trauma, it's strategy. The conversations Traoré sparked. Across Jamaica, his words have lit fires. In classrooms, teachers are revisiting Garvey, Walter Rodney, and Nanny of the Maroons. On radio, callers are demanding to know why Jamaica hasn't severed ties with colonial-era institutions. In the streets, young people are rethinking what being Jamaican really means, not as a product of empire, but as a descendant of warriors, artists, and free people. The message wasn't loud. It was precise. And in that precision, it cut through the noise of modern life. It reminded Jamaicans that the future is not something to wait for. It is something to design. Together. The wind carries many things through the hills of Jamaica. The scent of ganja, the echo of drums, and sometimes prophecy. When Captain Ibrahim Traoré's words reached the Rasta communities of Jamaica, especially in places like Bull Bay, Macho, St. Thomas, and deep in the cockpit country, the reaction wasn't casual. It was ancestral. It was familiar. It was personal. Because long before Traoré ever picked up a microphone, Rastafari had been speaking his truth for nearly a century. We told UNIDIS already. Traoré's calls for Pan-African unity, self-governance, anti-colonial resistance, and cultural identity weren't new to the Rastafari. They were confirmation. We told them already. Babylon Saya Lead Y, Africa a D Foundation. Inayabingi chants in reasoning circles in Ital Ital cookouts, the message has always been the same. Return to Africa, not just physically but spiritually, mentally, culturally. When the video of Traoré speaking began circulating in local Rasta camps and WhatsApp groups, the response wasn't shock. It was recognition. He's one of us, one elder said. Him spirit a chant for D continent. Him a rise like Selassie did. Red for the blood. In Rastafarian symbolism, red is the blood of martyrs. Gold is the wealth of Africa. Green is the land we must reclaim. Captain Traoré's military fatigues may not carry the same colors, but his mission mirrors them precisely. He fights for the blood spilled in the name of colonialism. He protects the wealth of Burkina Faso from foreign powers. He defends the land, refusing to sell it off to global corporations. Rasta saw that, not through political analysis, but through spiritual discernment. Every time Babylon rise, Jah send messenger Phi strike down D beast, said Sister Maat in Spanish Town. Dis ya youth a lion me tell ya. Hills on fire, not with flames but with purpose. In places like Akampong, the legacy of the Maroons, Jamaica's original warriors against empire, still lives on. And in the Rasta Hills, that legacy continues in new form. Traoré's message reinvigorated something that had begun to dim. Too many elders had seen their teachings commercialized. Too many youths had forgotten the liberation side of Rasta, reducing it to style and sound bites. Too many fires had burned low. But now, fires are being rekindled. Reasoning sessions are growing larger. Old scrolls of Haile Selassie's speeches are being pulled out. The Africa for the Africans message is no longer seen as utopian, it's seen as strategic. Rasta no play politics, but dis ya serious. Traditionally, Rastafarians rejected voting and party politics, seeing them as part of Babylon's trap. But Traoré challenges that line of thought. Because here is a Rasta-minded man, militant in dress, revolutionary in tone, spiritual in bearing, leading a nation. Not begging, not protesting, leading. This has led to a rethinking among younger Rastas. Can Pan-African spirituality and state leadership coexist? Can revolution happen from both inside and outside the system? Can Jamaica produce a leader who speaks like Traoré, walks like Garvey, and governs like Nani? Some say yes. Some say no. But everyone is now talking about it. The spiritual shockwave. Traoré's presence, even if only digital, has had a spiritual effect on Jamaica's hills. Faya Bun sessions now include speeches from Ouagadougou. Elders are drawing lines from 1930s Ethiopia to 2020s Burkina Faso. Keat drummers are adding new rhythms inspired by Sahel war songs. The Rasta response isn't political. It's elemental. Because in their worldview, what Traoré is doing isn't just governance. It's prophecy unfolding. We knew Africa would rise. Now D signal come. All who say Rasta chat foolishness must watch Traoré. This is the rallying cry in places where pride once met persecution. Young Rastas are now using Traoré's image in murals beside Haile Selassie and Marcus Garvey. Elders are reminding them that this is not new. It's the fulfillment of everything they've chanted for decades. The hills are not quiet. They are humming again. Not with anger, but with awakening. In the age of high-speed Wi-Fi and short attention spans, revolutions don't just start in the streets. They start in group chats. They trend on TikTok. They echo through Instagram reels. They're stitched into YouTube debates and flipped into dancehall remixes. Captain Ibrahim Traoré's message didn't arrive in Jamaica through the newspaper. It landed in the digital bloodstream of the youth, amplified by a generation more fluent in hashtags than manifestos. And the effect was immediate. A new kind of revolution. It began with a clip, 18 seconds long. Traoré, seated in military gear, leans forward and says, "We do not want to be slaves. We are no one's puppets." The video was reposted by a Jamaican dancehall influencer, then re-edited with Burna Boy's Ye playing underneath, then stitched with a video of Marcus Garvey, then uploaded with captions, "Jamaica, are we listening?" Within hours, hundreds of duets followed. Students in Kingston nodding solemnly in dorm rooms. Rastafarian youth lighting chalice fires to the beat. Diaspora kids in New York, Toronto, and London sharing family photos from back home, with the words, "Same fight. Same blood." Same future. This wasn't propaganda. It was identification. Traoré wasn't just speaking to Jamaica. He was speaking for something the youth couldn't quite name but deeply felt. Disconnection from identity. Disgust with corruption. And a craving for direction. Diaspora. Listening from afar, feeling close. For Jamaicans abroad, from the nurse in Brooklyn to the Uber driver in Birmingham, Traoré's words felt like a kind of return. Not to a physical place but to a mental homeland. Me daya in foreign so long me forget who me be, one voice memo said on TikTok. But dis youth, dis message, it mek me feel African again. Many diaspora Jamaicans grew up feeling culturally rich but historically starved, deeply black but politically ignored, too Caribbean to be African, too African to be Western. Traoré collapsed that confusion. Africa and Jamaica, same blood. It gave them back a title they didn't know they'd lost. Heir to resistance. Beyond hashtags, real impact. This digital revolution is not just symbolic. It's doing real work. Google searches for Burkina Faso leader spiked in Jamaica within 48 hours of the speech. YouTube content creators in Clarendon and St. Mary made explainer videos about Pan-Africanism and got thousands of views. High school debaters in Montego Bay are now quoting Thomas Sankara, Traoré's ideological predecessor, in their arguments about colonialism. This is more than awareness. This is activation. Young people aren't just reposting. They're researching. They're reshaping identity. They're reclaiming pride. Remix culture meets resistance culture. Jamaicans have always been cultural remixers, from ska to dancehall to trap dancehall. Now, that creative fire is being turned toward politics and history. Traoré's words have been dubbed into patois, spoken over rhythms, spliced into protest songs, painted in murals, used in graffiti outside schools. The youth are doing what they've always done, turning pain into performance, turning truth into art, turning global blackness into a local anthem. What this means for the future. Jamaican youth are not naive. They know Traoré is human. They know Burkina Faso has its flaws. But what matters is what he symbolizes. Courage. Direction. Vision. And for a generation raised in a fog of political confusion and cultural dilution, that kind of clarity is rare and golden. In Traoré, they see not just an African leader. They see themselves, if they could lead. If they had the courage. If they were given the chance. Final word, the message has morphed. It began as a speech. Now it's a movement, a remix, a digital wildfire, a call that refuses to be silenced. Traoré gave a message. Jamaica's youth turned it into a mirror, and what they see staring back at them is a version of themselves they're finally proud to become. Captain Traoré spoke the words. Jamaicans felt them. The diaspora amplified them. The youth remixed them. But now the question stands like a drumbeat in a silent room. What will we do about it? Because without action, even the most powerful messages become decoration. And Jamaica has seen too many decorations, flags, monuments, speeches, that never led to liberation. This chapter is about translating inspiration into transformation. Political will, or political theater. One of Traoré's sharpest critiques was against leaders who act like puppets to foreign powers. The accusation stung because it echoed a long-held Jamaican frustration. Trade deals that leave farmers broke. Tourism-driven development that strips cultural authenticity. Political speeches that repeat slogans, not strategies. If Jamaica is to heed Traoré's message, it must audit its foreign dependencies. Are we sovereign or are we still in Babylon's shadow? Reject exploitative economic arrangements. Why does bauxite benefit others more than us? Elect leaders with cultural integrity, not just charisma, who truly speaks for the people. Because nationalism without Pan-African purpose is just noise. Curriculum overhaul. The fight begins in the mind. A child in St. Elizabeth can name Christopher Columbus, but can they name Yas Antwa? A teen in Montego Bay studies European monarchs, but do they know Queen Nanny's war tactics? Traoré's speech is a curriculum challenge. It tells Jamaica, if you don't teach your children their history, they will serve someone else's future. Concrete steps. Replace colonial narratives with African and Caribbean resistance histories. Incorporate Pan-African theory into social studies and civics. train teachers in historical literacy beyond the plantation model. Because liberation starts in the lesson plan. Cultural sovereignty, we are not for sale. Every year, thousands of tourists come to consume Jamaica. Our music, our beaches, our food, our accents. But while the country profits on the surface, something deeper erodes. Local crafts become souvenirs. Patois becomes a comedy skit. Rastafari becomes fashion. Ackee and saltfish become exotic cuisine on foreign menus. Chorus message reframes culture as a weapon, not a product. To protect cultural sovereignty, fund local artists and musicians, not just through festivals but year-round initiatives. Archive and digitize oral traditions before they are lost. Protect sacred spaces. Not everything must be a tourist attraction. Culture is not entertainment. It is inheritance. Food and land, from colonized stomachs to conscious soil. Jamaica imports more than half its food. Let that sink in. How can a tropical, fertile, sun-drenched land rely on cargo ships to feed its children? This isn't just bad economics. It's colonial hangover. Chorus Burkina Faso has emphasized local agriculture, food independence, and seed sovereignty. For Jamaica to rise, invest in young farmers. Make agriculture profitable again. Ban GMO seeds that trap farmers in debt cycles. Promote school gardens and local food education. Because a hungry nation is an easy nation to control. And Babylon feeds what it wants to rule. Digital infrastructure. Control the narrative. One reason Chorus message spreads so fast? Social media belongs to the people. But it also belongs to algorithms and corporations. If Jamaica is serious about reclaiming its voice, invest in digital storytelling hubs, where youth can produce Pan-African content. Create national archives online, accessible by diaspora and local youth alike. Teach media literacy so people can separate propaganda from principle. Information is the new battleground. And without control of narrative, freedom is an illusion. This isn't about Burkina Faso. It's not even about Captain Troy. It's about whether Jamaica, the people, the institutions, the youth, is ready to reimagine its future outside the colonizer's blueprint. Troy handed us a signal. What we do with it is up to us. Turn it into a t-shirt. Or turn it into a movement. Debate it online. Or demand it offline. Watch from the sidelines. Or rise to meet the moment. Captain Troy didn't give Jamaicans a plan. He gave them something harder. A mirror, to see who we really are. A map, to trace where we come from. A mandate, to decide where we go next. Whether we answer that mandate, is the story still being written? The speech is over. The camera has stopped rolling. The microphone is off. The man who spoke the words, same fight, same blood, same future, has gone back to governing his nation half a world away. But in Jamaica, the echo remains. It moves through the schoolyards in St. Catherine. It stirs beneath the concrete in Tivoli Gardens. It lingers in the air around ancient maroon paths in the cockpit country. It vibrates in the base of every sound system still daring to play truth at full volume. Captain Ibrahim Traoré didn't just speak to Jamaicans. He awoke something in them. Not a wave, a return. This wasn't a trend. Not a moment. Not a headline. It was a return. To memory, to bloodline, to fire. Because what colonization tried to erase, what slavery tried to sever, what tourism tried to rebrand, what global media tried to mute, was never dead. It was just waiting. Waiting for the right frequency, the right voice, the right mirror. And Troy, young, defiant, African, proud, became that mirror. Jamaica has always known. This isn't new. Jamaica has always been a furnace of rebellion. From Queen Nanny's guerrilla warfare to Paul Bogle's final march. From Marcus Garvey's printing press to Bob Marley's mic. From Walter Rodney's analysis to Peter Tosh's defiance. The message was always here. But it had grown faint in the noise of modernity. Respect. Serpent. Amplified. Global. Now the echo is a question. What will you do with this echo? What will you tell your children when they ask what you did with your freedom? Will you teach them the names of their ancestors? Will you feed them food that grows in your own soil? Will you give them leaders who answer to no empire? Will you tell them the truth? Because the echo will grow louder. And one day, it will become a voice they can no longer ignore. From message to mandate, Captain Troy gave Jamaica no answers. Only a reminder. that sovereignty is not a slogan, it is a practice. That Pan-Africanism is not theory, it is a design. That identity is not performance, it is power. And so now, Jamaica stands again at a crossroad. Not between East and West, but between memory and amnesia. Between performance and purpose. Between what we survived and what we built. The echo cannot be silenced. Not anymore. Not after the hills remembered. Not after the youth reclaimed. Not after the diaspora realigned. Not after the fire spread. Especially, not after Jamaica remembered what it has always been. A rebel. A rhythm. A spark. A symbol. A sovereign voice in a world of silence.